Welcome, everyone. I'm Ivy Rivera. I'm a psychic medium, a Taino Arawak. I own a school called the Ivy League Psychic Academy. Tonight's class is called Why Mediumship. We're going to be talking about how this lost language heals your life and the world around you if you can learn it. When I'm talking about mediumship, I'm talking about an ability that everyone has. Here at the Academy, I am always speaking on how this is not a gift by any means. Mediumship, just like psychic ability, is something innate in every human being. We would literally not be alive and functioning here on planet Earth, which is quite a war zone, without following our gut intuition every single day and following the leadership that spirits come and give us through the language of mediumship. If we don't tap into psychic ability, intuitive intelligence, mediumistic ability, we slowly die off. We become mentally ill. And I'm not talking about other diagnosable mental illnesses. I'm not talking about manic depression. I'm not talking about schizophrenia. I am speaking about a disease in the mental state and a disconnect from healthy patterns of thinking. We become so extremely isolated from spirit, from our own psychic abilities, from the truth in the universe, that we become ill. It may start with mental problems, but it quickly leads, because our thoughts always lead, into emotional disorders. So we would then see ourselves become depressive, anxiety-ridden, paranoid, angry. Anger is a big, big, big issue. And we become reactionary. So your mental state affects your emotions affect your actions and your energy field. Once your actions are taking a nosedive, your energy field is taking a nosedive, you are so far out at sea and detached from your intuition and spirit, you will see it, and it is inevitable, a manifestation in your physical body. And that is all sorts of different illnesses, ranging from migraines to ulcers to nervous conditions to major stomach problems that the doctor can't seem to diagnose. You may think you have irritable bowel. It eventually takes a toll on the heart. Everything will go downhill. I believe a lot of cancer originates from this disconnect. What we want to talk about today is how we can get in touch with this lost language and heal our lives and the lives of others around us, the world around us. When we start using this language again, we are talking about symbology. That's how spirit communicates. We're talking about numerology, sometimes astrology, and physical cues that go on throughout your body, where we will know if I have this physical cue, there is a message coming in from spirit. If you learn that language, you will be able to understand what the actual messages are. And this is where the disconnect is for most people. The average person who believes at all would say, I think I know when I'm getting something psychically. I think I know if a spirit is around me. I think I know if my guides are trying to reach out to me, or I had a really intense dream that might be meaningful, but I don't know what it was saying. I don't understand the purpose or the cause of the whole thing. Without really understanding that part of the language, it falls flat. It's not of any use. When I started teaching mediumship about 9 years ago, I quickly found that students who would be there for the level one program would graduate at the end of it knowing the basics of the language, and they were coming off of their medications. I can't prescribe or diagnose, but they were finding that their therapists or their doctors were saying, finally, your medication is working, or you don't need it anymore. Disorders were disappearing. Diseases were disappearing. How was this happening? This absolutely blew my mind. I knew what mediumship had done in my own life. I knew what coming to terms with my empathic ability had done for healing in my own life. I knew what understanding my psychic abilities, how that had helped me to be more in control of my own energy in my own life. But I was amazed when these students that were still very new were giving testimonials about the Academy and the psychic mediumship training. And they were saying, this is what my doctor said to me. This is what my therapist said to me. This is how my life has changed. I tried time to understand how this had happened. And it took me about a year to really figure out. And during that time, I had some therapists and doctors come to me and say, you work with a patient of mine. I want to understand what you did. And we would openly discuss some of the basic language training tools and techniques that I taught. And those therapists and those doctors would say, okay, I get it. We basically teach the same thing, but we can't say it the way that you do. And it is this: energy that goes in must come back out. We cannot have a buildup and an accumulation of intuitive energy, positive energy, negative energy, any kind of energy. Energy that goes in must go back out. Well, this is a lost language. Therefore, we have been taught to shut it down as children, never acknowledge it. We are threatened with the medical institution, the medical field, science will say, you have mental illness, you have a problem, you will actually be punished for communicating with the spirits, which is a natural part of our lives. But around 5 years old, our parents start to tell us, stop that, stop talking to your imaginary friend. We're threatened at school. We know that something bad will happen if we talk about these things. There are no monsters under the bed. There's no such thing. So we learn to block. As this blocked energy continues and grows over the course of our lives into our adulthood, we manifest these illnesses that I was speaking of earlier. When we go back to our roots and we start tapping back into the language that we have lost, these things just ease up and tend to disappear. So there are amazing health benefits to learning this language. I want to talk a little bit, unless, Paul, you have any questions or comments at this point.
Yeah, there's one that came in about the anxiety and anger and everything. Tessa was asking, what if we managed to regain control over the anxiety, anger, and fear? Does that mean that someone has started healing within oneself?
I teach a separate training from the psychic mediumship course called empathic awareness. And in empathic awareness, we help you to gain control of that anxiety. And while that is part of this healing process, I do not believe that that's the end all be all. Learning how to maintain the energy that is coming into you and learning how to put it back out properly is one of the elements to real balance and prosperity in your life. If we don't ever learn the language, it is always a missing part. We can feel better because we've got the anxiety somewhat under control, but we cannot understand what the point is behind a lot of that anxiety. Because often when spirits come in to communicate, it causes an anxiety attack. So one of the most common physical reactions that all human beings have to mediumship is an anxiety attack. We have a ton of people out there on medications thinking that they have an anxiety disorder, when in actuality what they have is spirit communication going on a regular basis. Their mediumship abilities kicked up at some point, and instead of learning the language, they just started popping pills. So the empathic training, which can help you to get the anxiety under control, still requires eventually that to get the full picture on what's happening and to be able to truly heal yourself, take direction for your life, and heal the world around you, still requires that you learn the language behind it.
Jill was asking if the mediumship course would be a good place to start for an empath.
Yeah, the psychic mediumship course, the next one starts in fall, October 7th. There is one going on currently. You can get the video download. There are two pathways to learning, so it fits everyone's schedule. And this is part of what we're talking about when we speak on being empathic. The very second week of class, we have empathic awareness as a required part of the curriculum. So we get that out of the way immediately. So yes, when we're talking about the mediumship training here at the Academy, we're talking about empathic ability, psychic ability, and mediumistic abilities. If you don't learn all three, you don't ever fully understand the language. It's a great place to start. People who go through trainings elsewhere and all around the world always end up here eventually, yes. Here's how I want to break this down. I want to talk a little bit about the history of mediumship, where I think we are now, and where Spirit has shown me to believe that this is headed. What does this really mean in the future? The history of mediumship and the way that I talk about it is primarily through the Native and Christian concept concepts. Every religion includes something on mediumship, but we do not have time for that here today. I'm just going to talk about the two that I've observed the most that have affected me the most. Being Native myself, paying attention to a lot of different tribes and how they have all communicated with spirit has really sparked my interest over the years to examine if maybe that's why they seem to be more stable and healthy a lot of the time. They also seem to have their anger and hatred levels under control more, and they have a natural way. When you look at someone in the Native community, or you look at someone who says that they're a Christian and they are truly connected to spirit, they have a way of channeling that spirit energy so naturally that it flows out of them like a healing light, and it is undeniable. And they don't behave like other people. They don't think like other people. They don't talk like other people, because whether they intend to or not, they're channeling so much of the time. And these people are incredibly enlightening to just even be around. We feel blessed in their presence. Let's look at the Native style of bringing in mediumship and what that really meant. Most Natives are talking about communicating. Their sense of mediumship is communicating with ancestors, guides, and nature. They channel that wisdom. They like to analyze dreams. I've heard a lot of stories, and I did this with my children always growing up. They would get together as a tribe around the fire every morning, and they would share whatever it is that they dreamed about, because your dreams are a natural gateway for mediumship, especially if you're not listening very well during the day. You're busy, what have you. You don't know the language. It's going to come out in your dream. Now, the Natives would share that information, not just because it was going to help them understand the direction that was being given for their own life, but through our dreams, we also receive instruction for other people's lives. And they would decide what was going to happen with the tribe. They would decide what direction they were going to be traveling in next. Things like this. Any warnings that needed to come to the surface and they needed to plan up against. This was a big part of it. They are looking for not only direction, guidance, and confirmation, but they're also able to receive through mediumship healing and to give healing. So this is more where we're talking about shamanism. Now, that word's become very popular, and not everything, in my opinion, look like shamanism these days, or light work these days, but it has become very popular, and it's interesting that it is, because when we're talking about channeling healing abilities from the universe, we are most certainly talking about mediumship. And without understanding that language, you could channel something but kind of miss the bigger picture to the whole thing. This is how they used it. I will also say, I see we have questions and comments coming in. I'm going to get to them in just a second here, but I also want to talk about seers in a tribe. A lot of tribal communities believe in seers, those being the children who would eventually grow up to be the medium. Now, again, everybody has this ability, but it is undeniable that some people have it to a heightened degree, and some people have it to a heightened degree at a very young age. We understand from research that at 3 years old, a baby will start to communicate with spirits. Mediumship will kick off. At 3 years old, they started talking to things that weren't there. They started playing with energies in the room that weren't there. They may have started to wake up at night even more, and that never stops. We all still wake up. Anyone who has a lot of mediumship ability between 3 and 5:30 in the morning, right? The haunting hour, the witching hour. This baby would start to hear the spirits literally with their ears. They would start to see the spirits with their eyes and interact with them as though it was a normal person. They didn't know any different, and they didn't know any shame to that. But at 5 years old, the right side of the brain starts to develop, approximately between 5 and 6, and the baby would start to hear the spirits more in their head and see the spirits in their mind's eye. Now, we still always shift back and forth between seeing them literally or seeing them in our head, hearing them literally or hearing them more through clairaudience in our head, as though it is our own thought. But the major difference is that around 5 and 6 years old, we're put to shame by our parents, by our teachers, by the medical community, that this is bad. Even the church, that's demonic or that's wrong. This is where the problems come from. Now, in tribal Native communities, they don't bring in that shame element. They would have embraced the seer as a child, and they would have said, we want you to be raised up under an elder who is also the seer for this tribe. But if that child refused to train, they would, a lot of tribes, not all tribes, but many tribes, especially in Africa, would have developed a welfare system, sort of, where this child, who everyone knew was a seer, would eventually become mentally ill and incapable of focusing on work. They would become unhealthy in so many ways that they would not be a real participant in the community. They would end up as part of that welfare system where everyone would just contribute to taking care of them because they were somewhat disabled. That says a lot, that tribes understand this, and we don't want to look at this in our communities today. The other way I want to talk about in the history of this is through the Christian way, the Christian aspect. Now, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there were books of Solomon where prophets, psychics, mediums were trained. Those books were removed. And in the New Testament, mediums, prophets, psychics were put in a category with rapists, devil worshippers, thieves, and we were automatically labeled as something sinful and punishable. There is one English version of the Bible that still has some of that training in the books of Solomon, but it's pretty broken and there's really nothing there. My belief is that I've been shown through the method that Spirit has given me what was written there, the training and the actual language that people just don't seem to be tapping into anymore. It did exist as something very sacred, and it was considered not psychic work or fortune telling or even called mediumship. It was prophecy. And we are seeing some churches today, even here in Buffalo, I believe there are 5 that are bringing in prophets every month. And there are some churches that never lost that. But we want to remember that when they removed that from the Old Testament and they mislabeled us as dark and demonic in the New Testament, they were able to take the power from the Holy Spirit, which is in all of us communicating through mediumship, remove it and say, you want to talk to God? You have to do it through the priest. You have to go to church. You have to be part of this religious order. And they broke that Trinity bond, which is between the human being, the Holy Spirit, and God. So this is what ultimately in my mediumship training, I'm looking to restore with this language. I also believe, just on a side note, that astrology and numerology are a big part of this lost language. Don't rule that out. They always seem to coincide. And Spirit uses the astrology and the numerology as part of the symbol language and timeline. Any questions on that?
Jill stated that when she was younger, an imaginary friend, Alice, that would go everywhere with her.
Good.
And her Nana wouldn't let her in the house if she was insisting she was there with her. But she would stay outside until Nana gave in. And also as a teen, she would see spirits in the house. And one would visit every night, but her parents taught her it was bad and to make them leave.
We do a class up on the website called Intuitive Kids. It's training for children. And we talk about things like this. Your imaginary friend ends up being your joy guide. And we have a class called Meet Your Guides that could also help you to get reconnected. So your joy guide was always your imaginary friend. Before it was your imaginary friend, it was probably a stuffed animal or a blanket or a nookie or something you carried around. Some objects, some people are very just even connected to like odd things like the color blue or a chair or whatever. So before it became that imaginary friend, it was some type of an object. And then as you were shamed and had to cut it off, and you reach that stage of development at about 5 and 6 years old with the right side of your brain, it would have become this spirit who communicates with you through clairaudience in your head and things like this, okay? So it's still very much there. We never lose our imaginary friend. Could there be darker energies? Absolutely. That's for anyone of any age. There are always darker energies in the universe that want to communicate, and that's why we do discernment training, okay? But it is a myth that doing this work, this channeling, learning mediumship is dark and evil and bad. That's silly. But again, isn't that what they wanted us to think? So that we lose all power. Let's talk about currently where we are, and then Paul, get back to some of the other comments you have there, okay? Yeah. Currently, my outlook on our situation is that we are horribly detached, deteriorating, mentally ill, and quickly going downhill, okay? No point in sugarcoating it. Look around. This is a train wreck. This is the result of being detached from the language that every human being is supposed to be connected to every single day of your life for so many years on end. What we have here is a lot of talk of the end time or an apocalyptic kind of world? Are we headed toward like World War III and this and that? We did a free mini class on this. Yes, I believe that we are. And I believe that this is the root cause of that. What we do have still that we talk about pretty openly everywhere is dreams. And with dreams, people feel comfortable to carry on a dialogue about the curiosities, the synchronicities. That's weird. I had a dream and you were in it. You know, what could it mean? This is sort of all we have left of what was once this amazing language that everyone was connected to. And we are now seeing the results of this. Disharmony, murder, greed, mental illness, physical illness, decay, deterioration of the planet. As we come back in touch with learning this lost language, we not only heal our own life because real spirit communication shows you how to live within your life path, meaning your life contract, meaning what you signed on to before you came to Earth. So your life purpose, the whole point of you coming to Earth is to accomplish certain things and on deadlines. If we're doing that, we feel peace, we feel harmony, we have prosperity, we are fulfilled. Greed has no place in that. And through that, we're able to help others. So imagine if everyone was connected to mediumship and everyone was being corrected by spirit when they were doing something wrong. Their conscience was actually working and their prosperity came from doing important work that made them feel good and purposeful within a community. And we were all helping one another. That is something you can't deny when you know the language. Because spirit pushes and pushes and pushes and is always willing to work with you. So we get in alignment with the law of attraction and we are able to manifest. These universal laws that are in order are only going to work against you if you are not living within your life purpose, if you are not healing yourself and learning lessons, if you are never giving to others and working in community, and the language leads you there every day, every minute. We do have more conversation today, more so than we did even in the last, I would say 5 or 10 years, about guides. Everyone has 5 guides appointed to them when they come to Earth. Again, take the Meet Your Guides class. We do that early on in Psychic Mediumship course as part of the requirement. If you don't know how to communicate with the guides that were appointed to you when you came to Earth, you really have no sense of how to heal, where your prosperity is, direction. It is very easy to get lost. We know that we have the Joy Guide, who was your imaginary friend. We have a Work and Money Guide, who watches over your finances, gets you what you need, but also watches over your life contract. You have a relationship guide and you have a protector guide. There are more, but that's all I'm going to get into today with this. The other interesting thing going on right now is that a lot of people who have been supposed light workers, they're being exposed as entertainment, fraudulent, it's theatrics, or they're just a bunch of self-important posers who are just out here to make a buck. What has happened in the last year with George Floyd and the pandemic has blown that out of the water. So those who have been fraudulently out here trying to act as though they're light workers, but they don't know the language at all, they're being exposed and they're falling to the wayside. And the true light workers who have a life contract in doing this work to go out and heal mass people, the masses, are being called forward at this time. So 2020 has been a really powerful year in reactivating the language, this lost language of mediumship. So all of you who are really connecting with what I'm saying, it's very possible that you have a light working contract and you are now being called forward. Well, this is the first step in understanding how to do this work. So I feel good about things some days, for sure. I do want to talk about the future, and then we're going to get to your questions here. So if you have questions, you've been waiting, whatever, comments, posts, we're going to wrap it up now. Where I see this headed, I talked about this in the End Times show that we did. It depends on what we do. We were given free will. We have not done a great job with that so far. Some people have, but the majority are really slipping. As the church has been removed as a power figure, and we still have ways to go. But as the church is deteriorating, more people are coming to terms with this. We also see approximately 63% of younger generations shunning their parents' religion and their grandparents' religion for astrology and mediumship. There is no doubt that we are turning on to the truth of this language, that everything that comes through this language, when you understand it properly, is giving healing. And the dark elements of the universe that want to take over and convince us of how bad this is and it's causing us all kinds of mental, physical illness, hatred toward one another. Those people who've been feeding that are being washed away quickly, rapidly. There's a Hopi prophecy that says, in the end times, those that are connected to spirit will thrive, and those that are not will become mentally ill and deranged and fall to the wayside. That's what we're seeing in 2020, I believe. Going forward, that's what we're going to be seeing more of. And this is a time not to convert people, but for those who are woke, to turn them onto the language so that they have the tools to go forward and heal themselves and the world. These will be the people of the new world. It's going to be us prophets. And I think that whether or not you feel you have a tremendous call to go out and do light work, or you're just woke enough to understand that there's truth in this language and you want it as a compass, I think this is a place for everyone to come to the table, to stop trying to learn it in a vacuum. We feed off of one another, and spirit is so ready, and the ancestors are so active, and the universe has really, I think, been waiting on this moment for a long time, and we have been activated. So that's where I see it headed, if people get on board. I just think, what an amazing place if everyone had a purpose and they were living within that purpose. And when you're living within your purpose, you know to treat others with respect and the environment with respect. But we have no community mindset because we've lost this. So we need to bring it back, and I do believe it's critical at this point.
Nancy said that when she was little, the doctors made her get brainwave tests and take a pill before bed. Thought she was sleepwalking, but she was seeing spirits and hearing voices and walking around with them.
So we do that. That's not altogether uncommon. And we have a dreams class up on the website where we talk about astral travel. We talk about lucid dreaming. We talk about vision dreaming and prophecy and regular subconscious dreaming. And we break down all of that in that class. And one of the things that a lot of kids do is they're working a lot, especially at night. Now, we do this as adults too, if we're connected enough to spirit to be of some use. We work. And when we're working at night in our sleep, we're bringing healing to others and situations in the world around us. Sometimes that involves time travel, and sometimes you're really more staying put. But it is always going to be very active time where you're either speaking a lot, sometimes we speak in different languages, you're moving a lot, you are possibly sleepwalking, and if we can try and tap back into those dreams, we can have a much better understanding about what our work is, you know, when we're not fully conscious. And it's very exciting to know that.
Soraya asks that if a kid were to tell the spirits to go away, will they still receive communication? Or do they have to invite it back in later?
It's always there. We can ignore mediumship, but it's an active process. There's some misunderstanding, I think, that a lot of people have that if they shut it down as a kid, it's completely gone. It's not. It's just a block that you don't realize you're putting up every day. It is still there, but so is your blocking technique. That's what we remove at class.
This one is from Terry Rodriguez. She says, even though my mother has experiences, she thinks I've opened up a portal with my abilities, and that's why my daughter has a mental illness and questions her sexual identity. Can I ever make her understand or accept?
You know what? She's gonna have to be willing to get educated. And it always throws me when I see these things in our family from either side, because when we were growing up, there was far more openness than there is today, and I think that's a real shame. And I think that she's going to have to reach that point where she faces within herself her own blocks that were put upon her from elders in the family, from society, from school, from church. Okay, that was a big thing in our family, the Catholic system. When your ma is ready to confront that negativity in her own self and remove some of those blocks, then she's going to understand that we're all on our own journeys. And if you are ignoring it, you're more prone and susceptible to the negative energies coming and taking over. And when you're really comprehending the language, you will then stop feeding that and you will feed the light. And that's where the focus needs to be. This isn't a punishment that, my cousin, your daughter, they're going through some of these changes. This is quite possibly for her a very natural process. And it is also an opportunity to open up this conversation in the family and get back in touch with the roots. I would also say this, you opening a portal is probably not at all what happened. We increase naturally every 5 to 6 years and then through certain life events. So we all have peaks and increases with our intuitive intelligence, and it can never be reversed. So it's not like you did it. It's probably like it happened and now you're ready to embrace it and learn. And that is not a punishment. That is a gift. That is an opportunity for you to bring healing to you, to your children, to the rest of the family that's lost its way, and they have, and to go spread it outward. I would not worry about your mom. I would just make sure that your daughter's protected so that that kind of negativity isn't being spewed at her as though, you know, her being transgendered is something demonic. I would protect her from that. And I would really confront the situation and say, you really need to get educated. And there are a million classes here to do so.
Very cool.
But good for you. Good for you for realizing it and for saying, no, I am no longer going to live with basically the way the church has brainwashed even our family, where we once had deep roots in this.
Mm-hmm. Soraya says, thank you. And Terry says, they're crazy, but I love them. Yes, she has a ton of blocks, I believe. And mm-hmm. Thank you. The hands, the stars, all sorts of cool stuff.
You guys are welcome. Thank you.
And very similar to that with blocks or something along those lines, Tristan asks, how would you explain mediumship to people who believe it's scientifically impossible?
There are plenty of studies that show that it really isn't. We can watch the brain functions. We can prove the communication because one can psychically, they would say, more so than mediumistically. They're more welcoming to the psychic phenomenon, but they would say that it could be proven. Someone who knows something that they weren't ever exposed to can prove that as a fact. They got that information from somewhere. And in terms of convincing that mediumship is real, I think that we have a strong resistance to even looking at this in any serious way because it's going to limit big pharma. As long as mediumship, being a spirit, life after death, as long as all of this can be hocus pocus, and we can keep the power in the hands of the medical community to say that this is a mental illness, as long as that's the case, there's a ton of money to be made. So I wouldn't hold your breath on having them examine this anytime soon. Even when we look at empathic ability, the empathic awareness trainings that I have now being taught in universities and school systems, we still can't really get the medical community, the scientific community to take a serious look at it more in depth. And I think they just want to stop that because when we get a hold of our empathic energy, we are seeing anxiety disorders, depressive disorders, fibromyalgia, migraines, stomach problems. We see all this melt away. Why would they want to lose that cash? I would recommend to everyone who feels called to convert others, focus on what spirit has called you to do. It is probably right now for you to learn your own self, for you to learn the language and communication with spirit, and to pay attention to your life contract. Everybody has a part in this, but I don't think that the majority are here to prove and convert others. It is best, usually, to just live by example.
Amy said that she has taken the dreams class.
Okay.
Dreams is still confusing to her sometimes. She struggles with the symbology if it's too complicated. Would learning mediumship help me with the deciphering?
Yeah, because dreams are kind of the peak, and I always say they're the last thing to go also. And what I mean by that is I tell my students, when you reach a point where your dreams have become so full of symbology, so prophetic, so vivid, whatever it is, astral travel, all of that, you're kind of done. I mean, you've kind of maxed out what you can accomplish on your own. It is time to learn the language. And if you don't do that, you tend to just feel overwhelmed and like you've hit a brick wall. So the next step is always going to be picking up on that language because the symbology and all the other forms of symbology, including physical impressions, numerology, astrology, all of this, mediumship, it is the rest of the messaging system that your dreams are never going to reveal to you. It's sort of like now you're done. You know, you have to get off the boat, you have to go onto shore, and you have to start walking the walk. It's taking you as far as it can. Dreams are only a small piece of this.
From Jill, who must have been very, very waiting on this class tonight. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, it's very good. So more on the course is, does the course talk about blockages? Just as an example, not dreaming.
Oh, well, and that's funny she said that, because that was the other thing I forgot what I was saying. When I say that dreams are the first thing to go, we actually talk about that early on in the course, because if you've been relying exclusively on your dreams, and usually a couple visions that you have during the daytime, it will be the first thing to go. So what's going to happen when you come into the course, you've agreed to be of service, you've asked spirit to help you to grow and develop, you've asked your guides to step up, you have set the intention to develop your skills and what we call the clairs. So when we start doing that, anything that you've been leaning on too heavily is going to go. And that is usually dreams for most people. But they come back. It's a learning process. It would be the equivalent of your teacher saying, okay, now we're done with pencils. This year we start using ink. Not like it went anywhere. It just changed. Take care, everybody.